Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. What does it take to live a life of strength and independence? Today's guest, Maria Jarvis, has lived that life. Born in the Netherlands as one of four children, she fondly remembers her childhood as uncomplicated and adventurous. She first pursued a career in physiotherapy, only to discover there weren't any positions available in her home country. So Maria did what only the bold would do. She set her sights abroad. London became her home for nearly 4 years, where she lived on a houseboat on the Thames, discovered the vibrant pub culture, and, perhaps most importantly, met the Australians who would inspire her next great move. In 1987, her wanderlust brought her to Australia, where she has built a life grounded in strength, resilience, and connection. Now in her 60s, Maria continues to inspire others through her Thrive and Impact Circle, an online community of women brought together by her mission to share stories that motivate, uplift, and empower. Maria, what was the cultural transition like for you coming from England to Australia?
Yeah, look, I think for me, as I said, my heart just was drawn to Australia. I can't really say the reason, but when I came here, and I actually, it was an interesting story too. When I worked in London, I saw an ad for, they were looking for physiotherapists in rural Victoria in Australia. And I thought, oh, that sounds really good. So I went to an interview, and the interview was at the Australian Embassy in the Strand in London by a doctor from Goulburn Valley Base Hospital. And all he wanted to know was, where did I want to work in Victoria? He had a big map of Victoria on the wall. And he said, well, we've got jobs here, there, and there, and there. And I told him, I said, well, I grew up in the Netherlands, which is very flat, so I'd love to go somewhere near hills or mountains. And he pointed to Corryong, a little town in northeast Victoria, which is literally in the foothills of the Snowy Mountains. And yeah, as soon as I landed here, I loved it. I fell absolutely in love with the place. And I started working at the hospital and got friends with the doctors there. And I met my husband, my future husband then, about the second week I was there at a little house party one of the doctors was giving. He was best friends with the doctor. Yeah, we clicked, of course, because Corryong being a very small community, anybody new coming in was very, very welcome. And yeah, we hit it off straight away. So we got married 2 years later. I do remember telling my family in the Netherlands, because I was originally only going for, I think I had a 12-month contract with the hospital, because it was all sponsored, so it was very quick getting to Australia. And after living there for about 9 months, I told my family, well, I don't think I'll be coming back, but you're invited to my wedding next year. And they were like, oh, okay. So again, it happened, all fairly quick.
What sort of lifestyle did you enter, and how different was it from the one you'd led?
Since I was a kid, I grew up sort of in the country, but my dad worked obviously in the hospital in the city. But I always loved horses and dogs and the land. So we had a fairly big garden, and I managed to ride horses and ponies of the neighbors. But I always dreamt that I wanted to live on a farm somewhere. I remember as a kid playing with Lego, building a whole farm with fences and cows and horses. So then I met my future husband, who is a farmer, and he lives on we've got a cattle farm here. So we breed cattle, cows and calves. We've got some bulls. We also grow our own hay. And so I ended up living exactly where I wanted to be, on a farm with animals, dogs, cats, chickens, cows, horses. It is a dream, but it's also very, very tough living on a farm. That's the one thing I sort of hadn't realized when I married my husband. I married the farm because he is a third generation farmer. So that's all part of it. That's our life.
What sort of challenges have you faced together, and how has that actually reinforced the bond of your relationship?
Well, we've faced a lot. We had a drought, severe droughts back in, I think, in 2003. There was a very prolonged drought, which was very, very tough because, cattle were dying and trying to get feed. And we are a bit in the same situation now again, that we've had a very bad autumn, and even though the land is green, there's no feed for the cattle, so they're very, very hungry, and we're trying to source hay and pellets to keep them alive at the moment. So we support each other. Look, we've had our ups and downs, definitely. There's been times that I wanted to walk away, but we are a team, and when one of us is down, the other one picks him up, and the other way around. So we're there for each other in the end. And look, farm life is also fantastic. Our kids grew up on a farm. They're all grown up now, but they had the best youth, just the freedom to go out on the land. When they were a bit older, we got an old Toyota Corolla, broken down. You couldn't have it on the road, but they learned to drive on it in the paddock. So that sort of thing, that sort of childhood, that's just beautiful. So they all grew up pretty independent with a spirit of adventure.
How do you think that lifestyle has set them up for the life they're living now?
I think it's made them, how do you say that? It's not streetwise, but life experience. They know about death and birth and, where things come from, how things happen. They know about the stresses of farming. We went through the bushfires at the end of 2019. It went all through this area. We survived on our farm. That was a night I'll never, ever, ever forget. I was home with two of my daughters who'd both done the basic CFA training, the Country Fire Authority training, so they sort of knew. My husband was out on a fire truck, so I didn't see him all night, and the fire front came right through our paddocks around our house. We saved the house, but the rest, it was a war zone, honestly, and it went for kilometers. That fire was unstoppable. That was a beast. Once it got out of hand, and nobody expected it, because it started across the Murray River, which is about 30 k's away. And we thought, oh no, we'll be fine. That it was this time of year, we were always aware of fires. And again, this was a lightning strike, so you can't do it. Once it started, it was gone. But once it jumped the river, it just tore off, roared off. It creates its own environment, its own climate. So I still remember the roar of the wind when it came through here. Yeah, unbelievable. So we survived that. We lost a lot. We lost quite a few cows. We lost all our sheds and equipment and tractors and everything. So, but we weren't the only ones. Everybody here was in the same situation. But during that time, I also realized that I knew I was going to get through. I knew our family, we would survive. I just knew that. So, somebody was helping us from above, and I know that that was so true. It sort of made me feel like if I can get through this, I can get through anything. I realized how strong I really was inside myself, and we all had to step up. The girls as well, they were amazing. They were out there. We had a little tanker, a water tanker, so they were out putting out spot fires until it got too much, and we all had to come into the garden and just protect the boundaries.
As generational farmers, obviously, the farm relies on having someone to succeed. You and your husband, are any of your children planning on assisting with that and taking over the farm life?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Yeah, one of the girls, she lives on another house on the farm with her partner, And we're actually going to be grandparents too, which is really exciting. So she works the farm part-time. She's also worked for the local vets, so she does both. But because there are four kids, handing over succession planning, it's complicated. So we're right in the middle of it at the moment. And we're not quite sure where it's going to go, apart from the fact that we do all want to retain the family farm. But yeah, it's complicated. There's a lot of emotions involved, a lot of, hard, especially my husband finds it hard to hand over the responsibility. He wants to, but, it's quite a hard journey, which we're right in the middle of. So.
It's part of their identity. I spent 10 years working with the farming community through storytelling, and my daughter is also married to a generational farmer. They're going through the succession stuff right now. So it's not just about having a business. That's your identity. That's everything you do and live for. So it is one of the most challenging things.
It is.
You were talking before about you and I grew up through the 60s and 70s, which were powerful times in relation to women and the empowerment of women. And women on farms particularly, I find quite strong, resilient and independent. What role do you think growing up through the 60s and 70s play in the way you formed your views around what women can do and are capable of?
I think it actually stems from my parents. Like my mother, before she got married, when she was quite young, she actually went and traveled from the Netherlands where she lived to Italy on her own as a woman. Now, in that generation, that was unheard of, but she did. She loved it. She lived there for months. She ran out of money. She still didn't want to come home. So that independent streak was already there. And I know I've inherited that from her. You can be and do whatever you want to be. Don't let others influence you, which is hard at times, but I know myself that I have created everything that's around me because I can. You know, your mind is so powerful. And being a woman, I'm proud being a woman, and I'm proud that my daughters are, I've got three daughters and one son. My daughters are all very independent. And I'm so proud of them because I love that. They've all traveled. They've all got this wanderlust. And I've always told my kids, go and travel because that's the best way to get your independence, to learn about yourself and to experience the world. There's so much more than, you have to expand your horizons. That's very important.
It is testament to the way our mothers raised us to become these independent women. And the example they set, like your mum travelled and did things that most women weren't doing. My mum drove trucks and rode motorbikes and, nothing stopped her. And even during that time when we had this gender bias on what women and men's roles should be in society. So kudos to our mothers. Let's give them credit where credit's due. So as a mother, you obviously have those nurturing aspects of yourself, and you're also a very community-based person. So I noticed this when I found you on Facebook, and you are out there championing women across social media. At what age?
I'm 67.
Love it. How are you using socials to actually build this sense of network, with women on that platform?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it's very important to me. And I know a lot of people don't like socials. And there is, socials can be used in a lot of ways. But I have found that, and I'm very selective in who I let in on my socials. I don't just talk to anyone, but I do find that it is very powerful to convey my message. And my message is to every woman, and I say that over and over again, you are your own boss, you are independent, you're strong, you can do whatever you want. But so many women are afraid and are scared. And I talk to them and they go, oh, I don't know if my partner will allow this. And that sort of really, it scares me. I think, well, if you're in that situation, that's not right. You are strong enough. And, for me, it started very basic. When I started an online business about 6 years ago, And until then, I'd never done much on my own self-development, mindset work. I was too busy with the kids, you know. And once they've gone, I felt a bit like, oh, I was about to turn 60. And I got magazines in the mail about pensioners, you know, what to do when you're a pensioner, and really frames. And I got so insulted. I thought, no, that's not me. So I started looking for, yeah, just for something for me. I think I decided this is my time. This is my time to grow. So it started with myself and started with basic practice of gratitude, just being grateful every day, practicing gratitude every day, which sounds simple, but it can change your whole outlook on life as it has mine. And it grew from there. And I've learned so much about myself. The interesting thing was before I never wanted to do personal development. I've started years and years ago, but I never got anywhere because I didn't want to open up myself, open my heart. I didn't know what I would find inside, I suppose. I just wasn't confident. But now I know it's the most beautiful journey to learn about, you know, your own potential. Because if you don't fill your own cup, if you don't grow within yourself, there's no way you can help anybody else do the same. So it all starts with yourself.
What I love about the way you're actually going about this on social media is you're leading by example. How important is it as a leader to have empathy and vulnerability in yourself?
It's the most important thing. And I love that you mentioned that, empathy and vulnerability, because to show that takes courage. You know, it's easy to hide behind a facade, but to open up your heart and show where you're really coming from and what you're going through and share your struggles and your pains, but then also show how you move on from that. That takes courage, but to me, it's also makes me feel alive when I'm on that path.
Well, you look alive. I noticed you out. Now, this is something I have really struggled with. I'm procrastinating about getting on video and talking to my audience live. I've done it a couple of times, but mainly at specific events with my children's books and things like that. So I am so enamored by you out walking, talking about your weight loss journey and sharing that with others, and even the tips and hints. I thought, you go, Maya. I mean, why do you feel like you want to be that personal with your audience?
Oh, I really appreciate this support. That's amazing. Because the thing is, when you're on video, you never know who's watching. So, and it took me ages. I remember years ago when I first went live, or not live, just on video, I was whispering and I was hiding and I had things to say, but I didn't really know what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it. It takes practice. It's a skill that you learn. And the more you do it, the better it gets. I remember my first webinar I did online. I had sticky notes everywhere just so I would remember what to say. And looking back on it now, it's awful. It's the worst webinar. It's all stilted and you can tell I'm reading stuff, you know. But again, you have to start somewhere. If you don't start, you never get anywhere. And yes, it might be scary and cringeworthy, but I just felt this, yeah, calling. And I've had all the support. I have fantastic mentors that helped me too. And that's another thing. You can't do this on your own. You do need support from people that have gone before. And I'm definitely landed in a great community of very strong female leaders who help us all. So it's exciting, I find now. But yeah, I used to be so nervous presenting a webinar on video. Oh my goodness. But I did one the other day and I love it now. I find it gets a lot easier, but it's taken me a few years to get there. And I still need to improve, but I think our leaders, our mentors say every level has a new devil. Just as you think you've got somewhere, something else will pop up that challenges you. And that's just life.
I was just talking about this the other day with someone, how parenting is like that, and how, you know, we begin this journey and we get into our 20s and we're still opening up these layers of a flower or an onion or whatever it is and discovering something new. And then children come along and all of a sudden they're discovering layers you probably never would have found if you hadn't had them. So it goes on through life.
So true. And another thing I always say is your comfort zone. It's very easy to stay comfortable, do the easy things. And look, most of life can be like that. But you have to ask yourself, you know, do you still want to be in the same situation in 2 years' time? If you're happy and if that's the case, keep going. But if not, what are you going to do about it? And especially if you start with self-development, it's not always a comfortable journey. It can be hard and emotional, but you grow and you come out a different person. And to me, you know, that's just, that's what I want to do, not the easy stuff.
Well, I'm so happy to have met you. You are my latest inspiration, in fact, and I'm more than happy to help you in any way I can. I've been on stage since I was a very small child and worked in speech and drama, media, obviously, radio, television, all that. So let's get together and share the things we know to grow.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Love that.
Maya, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story so openly with vulnerability and empathy. Let's chat again.
Thanks, Kim. It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been the best.
Maria Jarvis, leading by example, living a life of curiosity, courage, and independence. If you'd like to know more about Maria's Thrive and Impact Circle, inspiring women worldwide to live boldly and create change, you'll find all those links in the show notes. Connect with me on my website, where you can subscribe to news and see my children's books that will help you have important conversations about life and nature. You'll find all my social links there as well. I'm Kim Clyden. Until next week, remember to be the change you want to see in the world.